Chairman, Stephen Mayne, I'm a small shareholder. I'm a small shareholder in all of the JB Weir associated vehicles. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, why are we separate from AUI? And I can't quite understand why we have all these different listed investment vehicles which don't seem to do a lot of different things, yet obviously have the associated costs of annual reports and directors and those sort of things. So we're meeting again at 11 for AUI. Given the changes since Goldman Sachs took over JB Weir, is there any rationale for having so many separate listed companies? Why not put a couple of them together to save some costs? Right, you answer that one first.
No, I'd like all of your questions.
Okay. Have we missed the resources bubble in a slight degree, in a small way, being underweight, Oxiana, Zinifex, Worley, United, some of those service companies? Yes, we've got some good exposures at the top end, BHP, Rio, Woodside, but there's nothing in Fortescue. Why have we seemingly missed that second tier? We seem to be overweight in Woodside and ANZ. ANZ's our biggest bank exposure. Woodside's our second biggest exposure overall. Now, Chairman, you were Chairman of Woodside until a couple of months ago, and you are still Chairman of ANZ. Is that a policy that we have, to be overweight stocks that you're Chairman of? How do we play the correction? It was a great buying opportunity. August 16, the stock market's gone almost 20% since then, so obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, if we'd borrowed to the eyeballs and gone in with our ears pinned back at that point, we'd all be even better off than we are. So how did we play the correction there? And how do you handle your voting? Are we taking advice from ISS? This is voting at AGMs and things like that. And how do you handle the independence of that? So when there are resolutions involving a company in which one of our directors might be on the board of, SP AusNet with Martin Meyer or ANZ with yourself, what's the process that we have? And can you tell us a bit about how you're voting stock generally? Are we, flexing our muscles and upholding good governance and throwing our weight around a bit where it should be, or do we tend to hold back a little bit and not vote against many resolutions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayne. There were five questions as I got it. The first one was related to us being a JB Weir Goldman Sachs company related, and whether that Goldman Sachs going to JB Weir made any difference, similarity of AUI and AUI. I'm not aware that we're related to JB Weir Goldman Sachs in any way. The second question related to resources. We tend to stick to the major companies. We're not active in getting around in small companies. We don't know them as well. And therefore, to the extent that the smaller and the speculative and the up-and-coming resource companies have been the performers, we have underperformed. We are not in that category. We don't know them well enough. We also we're a long-term investor, so we go to the companies that have a long track record really and stay with those companies. And that means that we've participated in the resource boom through BHP, Rio Tinto, Woodside and Luna. The smaller companies also, in the main, don't pay dividends, and we are conscious of dividends. Not that the major resource companies pay a high dividend, but over time the dividend seems to grow. So we have low cost, but we also don't have that activity or interest in being in the more, shall we say, smaller and speculative end. The third question arose about our holdings in ANZ and Woodside. They're very long holdings standing up. I doubt if we've bought an ANZ share in the last 5 years, if I stand corrected. And I don't think our Woodside holding changes. But insofar as a bank share comes up for discussion, I leave the room and the other directors discuss it, and the same is true for Woodside. And we, I physically look for him, not only not participate. But I don't think there's been changes in those investments this year. Maybe the directors added to Woodside line. But I don't think ANZ has changed in fact. How did we participate? What did we do in the correction? Well, we didn't do well in the correction. We were cautious, frankly. We sold a few shares. We didn't buy any. We reduced our borrowing. We were concerned at the reverberations. And we met just before the week had started, but before our board meeting was before Bernanke reduced the interest rate 0.5%. And before the Bank of England took action. So we were meeting, seeing the problems, especially the problems of the debt market, and wondering how these would reverberate through the, and we hadn't the benefit of, at that point, of the central banks coming and taking decisive action. But even now we're cautious that, that the reward for risk in the debt market and the problems of problems in America. Maybe look when these reverberations are over, this crisis is over, and liquidity, there may be higher interest rates next year. Maybe there'll be a slowing of the US economy. So we're generally sitting on that portfolio. We don't go in and out if we think the market's low and then sell when it's high. That would make us a trader. We wouldn't be able to pass on capital gains to our shareholders under the linked tax position. So we're not in the game of being in and out and being clever on trading. We're not sure we'd be good at it. And as I said in the outlook, we're cautious. So we didn't avail, we were not clever enough to be correct during that fall. With respect to voting, I'll ask Sandy Hancock, the significant ones like Atlanta and Southern Cross, the Secretary brings it up for board and we look at the papers and make a decision. And for example, we're voting in favour of the Southern Cross scheme of arrangement where shareholders will get cash. And what about the normal, the day-to-day ones? I mean, the non-major decisions of companies, I'm not sure where they have.
We do deal with, we do tend to support the board, but if there's a contentious resolution, the board will discuss it, and those directors that may be involved would not participate in the discussion.
But in the rule, we take responsibility for our own voting. We don't employ it. Some professional organisation, perhaps based in USA, advises how to vote on the Australian company. And we're only invested in Australian companies.
I think it's a good point about the currency and considering going offshore. At 90 cents plus, I think this is a pretty strong argument for doing that. I notice we're still in News Corp. I notice we're still in News Corp. Why the exception for news? And at the other Weir, I know you're saying you've got nothing to do with the JB Weir vehicles. Why is AFIC a 10% shareholder in us, if that's the case? I mean, I know you'll probably say it's a matter for them, but there's a number of cross shareholdings amongst what I would have thought were related listed companies, and they do have 10% of us. We have 10% of AUI. Why do you feel the need to have that cross shareholding with AUI? Why not just put the whole two companies together or have them as completely separate rather than have this sort of link? I think AUI's got one common director with the other funds in Peter Weatherall, which I would have thought was a connection to the others. And I noticed that with the other funds, they have investment committee meetings almost weekly, that Don Argus turns up 35 times a year at AFIC to sit on the and actually sits on the investment committee. Have you looked at that model? Why do we go for the more conventional 10 times a year model? I noticed that they subscribe to ISS's service on proxy voting, so they take the governance issues, I think, a bit more seriously than you are here. I think the idea of the secretary just bowling up and saying this one might be of interest isn't really taking governance and voting very seriously. So I'd put the case to you that you should follow the lead of the other WEIR associated funds and actually step up to the plate on governance, maybe get some professional advice, and maybe think about voting your shares more actively, given that voting is an asset of this company and an asset that should be utilised probably a little bit more vigorously than it seems you are at the moment. Thank you.
I think there are four parts to that question. First, why do we have a shareholding in News, when it's an overseas company? We're not a trader, and News was a share we probably bought 15 or 16 years ago, and it was an Australian company then, and we just held it. So we haven't invested in it since it was overseas, I don't think. Secondly, you asked why is AFIC a 10% shareholder? I can't answer for AFIC, and I don't know. You mentioned, well, why are we a 10% shareholder in AUI? I don't think we own any AUI shares. I don't think we own any shares in any investment companies. We have some shares, perhaps in Perpetual Trust and Washington H. Soul.
Sorry, AUI owns 10% of us. Sorry.
To ask AUI.
Well, I'll see you at 11. So.
We own some shares in Henderson, IWF, and PAX. And then you asked about voting, why we vote, when the Secretary just bottles up and says, what do you think? Actually, we have a policy that any serious resolution, like the Winter One or Southern Cross, or anything, that's not just to do if there's three directors and three are being voted for, we don't participate in those sort of decisions. But formally, he brings any serious resolution to the company, we hold for discussion. And if it needs discussion before that, he circulates it to the board members.
Chairman, I know we've got a very small board, and Graham is, I think, probably one of the 10 oldest directors of any publicly listed company in Australia. There's no reason to say he shouldn't stand again, but I guess the John Howard question, is he intending to stand for a full term, 3 years? And given, Chairman, that you're also of a similar age to the Prime Minister, have you had a look at any board renewal issues? I mean, both you and Graham have been on the board since 1991. The governance box tickers would say, therefore, you're no longer independent. Although there's an argument about that. So look, yeah, just is Graham going to serve the full term, and have you thought about maybe beefing up the board and maybe injecting some new blood at some point, maybe a different family member with the Myers or some other form of diversity in terms of the talents and experience on the board?
Graham, do you intend to serve for 3 years?
Of course, I'm also chairman of the audit committee. You've got to have an independent director for that, and I'm the only one who falls into that category, which I would think I could have. So on that basis, I guess I'm staying on that.
Our policy on board compositions on page 6 of the annual report, and one third director stands for re-election at each annual general meeting. There's no set retirement age or term for directors. Extensive experience in the investment markets is valued. Directors not required to own shares in the company. And we're very happy with Graham's experience and contribution. We will from time to time look at adding new members. Rupert and I joined us 5 years ago. As you said earlier, we only meet 10 times a year and we're not a trader, so it's not the most exciting board for someone to be on unless they're interested in long-term investment and the company of this size. But we will look at that. Thank you.